We're going to do a summary of the last 2 weeks' teaching that we've been looking at. It was entitled Understanding the Law. By way of review, we saw that in part one of this teaching, the word Torah, according to Strong's, was translated by the word law always in the King James Version. We saw that the law was made up of several different parts. It could be the law of Moses, it could be the law, the civil law, the ceremonial law, it could be the moral law, it could be the different types of law with regards to country. We saw that among Strong's definitions, under the word Torah, in the first definition that he listed, was also the word direction and instruction. We then looked at Romans chapter 10, and we saw that Jesus Christ was the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Jesus Christ was not the end of the entire law, but only that which pertained to that segment. Jesus Christ came to offer salvation to mankind by faith. Jesus brought a new and better testament. He did not do away with the entire Old Testament. Jesus did away only with those laws that stood between us and God regarding our salvation, our righteousness. However, Jesus left in place many of the Old Testament laws, but he also changed some. Later on, we saw that the Apostle Paul changed some of the laws also. And the ones that he didn't change are still in force and still good doctrine to live our lives by today. We noted Paul's opinion of the law recorded in Romans 7, where he said it was holy, the commandment was good and just. And we also saw that we don't make void the law through faith. We saw that we are not under the law for righteousness. However, the law still applies to us for many moral and civil matters. And because of the law of love, we place ourselves under God's direction for us in this day and in this time, no matter where that direction comes from, whether it be Old or New Testament. Unless the Scripture has been upgraded or changed in the New Testament, it would be wise for us to live according to God's instructions, no matter where they come from. In part two of this teaching, we looked at the Greek word nomos, which is translated law in the New Testament, and we saw that that particular word had a range of meanings, usages also. We saw it refer to the Ten Commandments in Romans 7. We saw it refer to the prophet Isaiah's writings in 1 Corinthians 14. We saw that it refers to civil laws at times. We saw that we had the law of Christ, Galatians 6:2, the law of faith, Romans 3:27. We saw that it referred to the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and the law of sin and death, all in one verse, Romans 8:2. And then we noted the law of liberty in James 1:25. And all of those words are the same Greek word, but meaning different things. Then we looked at an axiom. And the axiom I taught you was the latest pronouncement of the lawmaker is the law. According to this axiom, where two laws have been made by the same authority or by different authorities of the same dignity, the last made will prevail over the earlier one insofar as the two conflict. At some places, Jesus, an authority on behalf of the dignity, his Father God, changed or he updated the law. And then we noted John chapter 8, where the law was when the woman was caught in adultery. Moses said in the law, such a woman should be what? Stoned. But Jesus' answer was, go and sin no more. So you see where there was a change there. Jesus, representing the heart of God, changed the law into the new improved law, that of the law of compassion and of love. We looked at some of these examples in the life of the Apostle Paul. Exodus 28 told us, remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. And then later on, with the revelation given to the Apostle Paul and the administration of grace, Colossians 2:16 went forth and showed us, let no man judge you in respect to meat, drink, holy day, new moon, or of the Sabbath day. The law, or the instructions to man given to God, are given by God to man, I taught you, could be compared to a computer. And I taught you about the updates that a computer receives quite frequently. Then I taught you about a creature called a kernel inside a computer. I told you that the kernel is the core of the computer's operating system, and it resides in the memory and performs essential functions such as controlling memory and files and allocating system resources. When you get an update for your computer, I taught you that the kernel doesn't change. The update is specific to the program or to the file or to something else. But the basics of the operating system, the kernel, it stays the same. It just adds or it adjusts or it enhances your computer. It doesn't erase the entire operating program. It just updates portions. I taught you that God's word was like this, that there are certain kernel laws of God that will remain the same throughout all administrations and they will never change. But I also taught you that there were a great many of updates given to us by God in the scriptures if we would choose to accept them. Just like a computer, when the update comes on, you can update now, you can update later, or you can completely ignore the update. It's your choice. Many people choose not to update themselves today to God's word. This is why you have people still living under the law, still obeying the Sabbath rules. This is why you have people that are still working out and working for their salvation. To throw the entire Old Testament and Gospels out because you think they are not written to us is at best foolishness. We can read and derive good, sound, kernel guidance and direction from the Old Testament and Gospels. I taught you that they reveal God's heart to us no matter what administration we live in. Are the four Gospels written to us? Inasmuch as they do not conflict with any later update given to the Church of God, they are. There are many kernel truths in the four Gospels for you and I that we can live by today. And then I gave you some of those truths. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. We are still instructed to seek God first today. We are the light of the world, Matthew 5:14. All things whatsoever in prayer, believe when you pray, these sort of things. A lot of great, wonderful truths in the Gospels in the Old Testament that are still applicable to us in the administration of grace today. And then I gave a warning to ministers that a lot of ministers do not understand the ministry of deliverance, because the church epistles, for the most part, do not deal in detail with deliverance. The section of God's word that deals in detail, great detail, with regards to demons and casting out spirits is the Old Testament and specifically the four Gospels. And because people think that the four Gospels aren't written to them, that the Old Testament is not good for them, quote unquote, they ignore these types of scriptures, they ignore the Gospels, they spend most of their time in the church epistles, and no wonder why they have no knowledge about the ministry of deliverance, because the instruction of the ministry of deliverance is in the Gospels taught by the great deliverer himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that doesn't mean that we're trashing the church epistles, because that's where we need to be. However, the church epistles build upon the foundation of the Old Testament and the Gospels. You understand? You don't take the whole Old Testament and the Gospels and throw them away and start all brand new again. That is not the accuracy of God's word. Thank God for the church epistles, but thank God for the update that he's given to us, the 5.0 version of grace. We then understand, are we under the law for righteousness? No. But for many moral and civil matters, the answer is yes. Because of the law of love, we place ourselves under God's direction for us in this day and in this time. And unless the scripture, once again, has been updated or changed in the New Testament, we can still live by these instructions. Now, in part three of this teaching, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 14, the scripture reads of verse 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, if you love me, you're going to obey what I command. That's the New International Version rendering of that verse. And I would like to say, what did Jesus Christ command, and where would those commands be? Sure. John 13:17 says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. The Word of God, again, speaking to us, and Jesus said, if you know these things, you're going to be happy. Some of the things that he talks about that we should know are in, again, the Gospels. Now, again, understand this in light of what I taught you about updates and changes. I'm not going to keep repeating myself. In John chapter 14, verse 22, then Judas, not Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Verse 23, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching, and my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home, and we will make our home with him. He that does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear, they are not my own, but they are the Father's who sent me. So, you know, if you're going to obey Jesus Christ's teaching, if you say you love Jesus Christ, you're going to obey his teaching. Where is his teaching recorded? In the Gospels, right? Sure. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For no other foundation can no man lay, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is who? Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ, he's the cornerstone. He's the foundation. Okay? He's the kernel truth. And when we build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. We don't come in and destroy it and rip it away and say that foundation doesn't apply to us anymore. But what we do is we take the foundation that was laid, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, and then we what? We build upon him. We build upon him. Go to Psalm 1, please. In Psalm 1, with regards to the word Torah, where we started this teaching out several weeks back, the Bible says in verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But this man, the one that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, the one who doesn't stand in the way of sinners, the one that doesn't sit at the seat of the scornful, his delight is in the law, in the Torah of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate night and day. Night and day. The man delights in the law. But you see, the man delights more in just the law. Man delights in God's heart, God's instruction, God's wisdom, God's direction. That's what it's saying here. Look at Exodus chapter 16. You got to get in your mind that when you hear the word law, you cannot only think about Ten Commandments, goats, turtle dove offerings, and all that other stuff. You got to get that out of your mind. Now, does some of that exist, and is some of that accurate? Absolutely. But that is not the blanket truth for the word law, and we have to get that out of our thinking. In Exodus 16, in verse 1, it says, they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. Now again, I taught you this is before the giving of the law in Exodus 20. They're just getting out of bondage and they're hanging out in the desert here. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron in the wilderness. Just a few short weeks after all of these miracles, here they are, and they're murmuring against them. Isn't that so like people? They just forget where they've been brought to and how blessed they are to be there. The children of Israel said unto them, "Woe unto God," they said unto Moses and Aaron, "that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, for where we sat by the flesh pots, and we did eat bread to our full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then said the Lord unto Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether or not they will walk in my law or no, whether or not they will walk in my Torah or no." Now, as of yet, there was no what? Torah. So God's saying, this is what I want you to do. Specific, the instruction was, go out, but on the sixth day, gather twice as much, because if you get more than what you're going to need, it's going to what? Going on the seventh day, there's not going to be any there. Okay? So, what I did then was, I decided to change search versions. I took the King James Version and I worked every occurrence of the word Torah in the King James Version. All right? And I went according to what different things. So I decided, let me change my search versions and let me see if there is another version in the Bible that has some more information with regards to the word Torah. And to my surprise, there were other search versions in the Bible that had the word Torah in it, of course, and under the definition of those search versions, we came up with a completely different defining of the word, and not so much defining of the word, but translation of the word. So I picked the New American Standard. Now, in the New American Standard, the first meaning of the word Torah is direction in this order, instruction, then law. And you will remember that I told you Strong said 219 times the word Torah is translated by the English word law in the King James Version. However, in the New American Standard, the word law has several translations and several different usages. The New American Standard translates the word law as custom. They translate it as instruction, instructions. They translate it as law. They translate it as ruling. They translate it as teaching. And they translate it as teachings, plural. So the translators of the New American Standard recognized that the word Torah should not be translated by one English word all the time. You got it? Because they saw a difference in the usage of the word Torah. And what they did is they translated accordingly to the context. Now you got to ask yourself a question. Why did not King James follow the same rule? Because King James does that with other words. But when King James got to the word Torah, they said, we're going to make it law. We're going to make it law. Now, that's not honest. That's not fair. That's not even good biblical research. You have to ask yourself why. So now, beginning with the New American Standard, I'm going to take you through an assortment of verses to show you how the New American Standard decided to translate the word law in certain verses in light of certain contexts. Exodus chapter 16, we were there, right? Verse 4 says they want to see if he's going to work in his law. Well, we know that they weren't going to walk in the law because the law wasn't given, quote-unquote, as we know it yet. This is how the New American Standard translates Exodus 16:4. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction, Torah, instruction. Exodus 16:5, he goes on and he says, On the sixth day, you're going to bring in twice as much. Now, when you get down to verse 27, the King James says, And it came to pass that some went out on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? The New American Standard translates verse 28, How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my Torah, my instructions? My instructions. Exodus 18 is another record. You can read that for yourself. It's verses 13 through 16. It's talking about Moses' father-in-law. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 7. And again, I'm using the New American Standard, so if it translates a little bit different, you can follow along in the King James. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, in verse 12, it says, When your days are complete, and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. This is talking about David, and it's talking about his son Solomon. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be a father unto him, and he will be a son unto me. And if he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and with the strokes of men. But my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Verse 16, And your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. Verse 17, In accordance with all the words and of the vision, So Nathan the prophet, he spoke unto David. Then David the king went, and he sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord, and what is my house that you have brought me thus this far? Verse 19, And yet this was insignificant in thine eyes, O Lord God, for thou hast spoken also of the house of thy servant concerning the distant future. And this is the custom of man, O Lord God. This is the custom, the Torah of man, O Lord God. Now you have a King James Version there, right? The King James Version says of verse 19, small thing, servant's house for a great while to come, and this is the manner of man, O Lord God. You see the word manner there in your King James Version? The word manner in your King James Version is the word Torah in the Hebrew. You know what that means? That means Strong's was wrong. It's not translated 219 times always by the word law. At least one time it's translated by the word what? Manners. Right? He was wrong. So maybe Bible Works will fix that someday. The English Standard Version translates 2 Samuel 7, verse 19, like this. And I picked this translation because it'll be clear in your understanding. And yet, this was a small thing in your eyes, O Lord God. You have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come. And this is the instruction for mankind, O Lord God. They use the word instruction there for the word Torah. Look at Job, please, 22. Job 22. But you have to work every occurrence of the word Torah in order to see that they missed it. Every one, every 219 occurrences of I worked. Job 22. And they only missed one. But I got it. Job 22, verse 1. Then Eliphaz the Temanite responded. Elihas, the Tebite. Okay, now, this is what I'm showing you. This is, quote unquote, Job's friends telling Job why his life is in the poop house, right? And what he needs to do to get straight. Now, this is one of his friends. Okay, now let's go down to verse 22. And again, you got to understand, I'm reading out of the New American Standard. This is how they translate verse 22. Please receive instruction from his mouth and establish his words in your heart. Translation of King James says his what? Why can it not be the word law in the book of Job? There you go. You guys are smart. Because Job is what? It predates that. Right? That's why the New American Standard chose to use the word instruction. Listen to what God's telling you is what he's saying. He's wrong, but that's what he's saying. Psalm 78. Listen, verse 1. O my people, to my instruction, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Listen, O my people, to my Torah, to my instruction. Not just my law, but what? To what I got to say, to my heart, to my direction for you. Psalm 78, 1. If you check your translations, you'll see that your translations are about split with regard to this verse. Most of them say teaching, or half of them say teaching, the other half will say law. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Proverbs 1, 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, okay, and forsake, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's Torah teaching. That's where it is. It occurs at the end of the verse. Your mother's Torah, your mother's teaching. Now, we know it's not talking about the law of Moses. We got a woman involved here, right? It's the mother's instruction, the mother's teaching. And the exhortation is, make sure you listen to it. You see how law can't fit there? I mean, in light of, it only means this. Look at Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my Torah, my teaching. Again, this is New American Standard. But let your heart keep my commandments. Proverbs 4, verse 2. I give you sound teaching. I think King James is what? Doctrine. I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my Torah is instruction in New American Standard. Do not abandon my instructions. Okay? Sound teachings. Not just one thing, but his teaching. Don't abandon his instructions. Proverbs 6:20. My son, observe the commandment of your father, we had this in another way, and do not forget the teaching, the Torah of your mother. Again, same thing said a little bit differently later on in the book of Proverbs. Most of the translations, however, of Proverbs 6:20 use the word teaching here instead of the word law. Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the Torah, the teachings, is a light and reproofs for discipline or a way of life. And most translations, once again, use the word teachings instead of the word law here for the translation of Torah. Proverbs 7:2. Keep my commandments and live, and my Torah, my teachings, as the apple of your eye. Same, most translations use the word teachings to translate that word Torah. You see, it's more than just the law. We miss it when we just say the law. We miss God's heart, His direction, His guidance, His wisdom, His knowledge when we just say the law. Proverbs 13, verse 14. Proverbs 13, verse 14. New American Standard, once again. And most of the other translations, the teachings, the Torah, the teachings of the wise is a fountain of life to turn aside from the snare of death, etc. See it? It's the teachings of the wise. The teachings of the wise. Proverbs 31. Now, what does Proverbs 31 talk about?
Virtuous woman.
We've read this for a million years, right? But in Proverbs 31 and in verse 26, guess what word decides to pop up? It's Torah. And it says, the New American Standard, she opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And if you check the translations, they're about split here. Half go with law, half go with teaching. The NIV has a very wonderful translation, which I think captures the heart of the verse. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. See, it's not the law. It's when she teaches with kindness. There's a way you can get taught, right? You get taught in drill camp, in a boot camp. That's one way to get taught. If you've never been to boot camp, but if you've seen a movie, that's how they teach you in boot camp. But then there's a way that someone can instruct you with kindness. In other words, this is instruction with kindness. Woman, go and sin no more. That's instruction with kindness and compassion, right? The other way instruction is Moses and such a one should be what? Stoned. That's the law. Isaiah 1. Isaiah 1, verse 10. And again, the New American Standard. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Solomon. Give ear to the instruction of our God, you people of Gomorrah. And again, if you check the translations, they're about split. Some say the law of our God. Some say the instruction of our God. Isaiah 30, verse 9. For this is a rebellious people, false sons, son who refuse to listen to the instructions of the Lord. King James will say, refuse to listen to the law of the Lord. Sons who refuse to listen to the instructions of the Lord. God's instruction to Israel was to come back, come back, come back, come back, come back. Turn away or you're going to go into captivity. You understand? At points in Israel. God sent prophets to them, say, turn, 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 or this is going to happen, this is going to happen. That's got nothing to do with whatever. Maybe they were breaking that, but his particular instruction in that context was, and he's saying, you're a rebellious people. You don't listen to what I tell you to do. That's what he's saying. Daniel chapter 9, verse 10. Nor have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his teachings, which he set before us through his servants, the prophets, plural, more than just one prophet, prophets. It was the instructions that they set before them through the prophets. Understand? So it just can't mean the law, Moses, the lawgiver. It's talking about prophets, servants, teachings. Well, look at Haggai 2. I don't know where it's at. Well, just listen then. Haggai 2, the New American Standard says, of verse 11, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest for a ruling. They translate the word Torah here, a ruling. New American Bible translates it, ask the priest for a decision. New Jerusalem says, give a ruling on this. New Revised Standard says, give a ruling. The Revised Standard says, decide this question. That's all words that are used to translate the word law. You understand? They're looking for a judgment. They're looking for a ruling. Now go to Malachi, would you? Chapter 2. So you see that other versions recognized that the word Torah meant more than law. And they tried to reflect that when they translated it. The King James boys decided to leave it at that. For what reasons, I do not know. But you can see plainly, clearly, that there are contexts within certain verses that no way in the world should that word be translated law. Malachi 2, verse 6. Again, New American Standard. True Torah, true instruction is the way they translate it, was in his mouth. Verse 7. For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek Torah, men should seek instruction from his mouth. Verse 8. But as for you, you have turned aside from my way. You have caused many to stumble by the instruction, by the Torah. See? In other words, what they were teaching, what was coming out of their mouth, the way they were instructing their people, they've caused many to stumble because they turned out of the way. That's what he's saying. Verse 9. So I also have made you despised and abased before all the people, just as you are not keeping my ways, but showing partiality in my Torah, in my instruction. They were showing partiality in the instruction. So we can conclude with a relatively certain amount of certainty that the word Torah should have been translated by different English words according to the context in the Bible. We saw that John said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. He said, if you know these things, happy will you be if you do them. We build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. We don't rip the foundation out and start all over again with the church epistles. As a matter of fact, there's nowhere to lay the church epistles if we don't have the foundation of Jesus Christ. But with the foundation of Jesus Christ, and then we lay the church epistles on top of that, we have a wonderful, wonderful building, a wonderful church of God. We then looked at the New American Standard of the Bible, and we checked the word Torah in the New American Standard. And we saw that they decided to translate this word Torah by several different English words: custom, instruction, instructions, law, ruling, teaching, and teachings. And that is not the only version that recognizes these truths. You understand? There are other versions in the Bible that have decided to translate the word Torah by other and the same words. I just chose that particular search version this time through. However, we don't want to remove the translation of law as a valid translation either. Because the word law, the English word law, is a good translation for the Hebrew word Torah in certain contexts. So don't go nuts and say, oh, we're... You don't want to go over here. You understand? Come right here where God wants you and understand that, yes, it means law sometimes. Most of the time, I'll give you that. But there are times it means instruction. There are times it means God's direction. There are times it means God's judgment. There are times it means a mother's teaching or a virtuous woman's teaching. You understand? It has different meanings. Matthew 7:24 says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. See? You want to be a wise man? Then I would advise you to listen to the sayings of Jesus Christ, because he is the rock on which the church is built upon. Even the church epistles are built upon that. Okay? If you don't want to be a wise man, then don't listen to the words of Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, You're going to do what you want to do anyway, fellas. It's only advice, right? Jesus Christ, where are you going to find him? In the Gospels. 1 Corinthians 14:37 says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if you want to be ignorant, what? Go right ahead and be ignorant. Unless the scripture has been updated or changed in the New Testament because of the law of love, it would be wise for us to live according to God's instruction and direction, no matter what testament they come from. Okay. Father, thanks for your word. Thanks for your teachings. And thanks, Father, that we can align our worldview, we can align our doctrine with your doctrine, Father, and that we can be blessed in doing so. We thank you that we want to receive your guidance. We want to receive your instructions. We want to receive your directions, no matter where they come from, Father, in light of how you've given us revelation and in light of the grace administration and the church epistles. And we thank you for these instructions. We thank you now, Father, that we don't have to worry about going to the Gospels, that they are written to us, certain sections of them, Father, and that we can learn so many, many, many wonderful truths from the Master himself. And I thank you in his name, Jesus Christ. Amen.